Wow. Thank you, choir and orchestra. Thank you, Barry. The Apostle Paul said that I come to you preaching nothing but the cross and Christ crucified. Where would we be without the cross today that represents our substitutionary Lamb of God, Jesus himself, who died on Calvary's cross to give us eternal life? And of course, that brings on Easter, because he didn't stay on that cross. Amen? He didn't even stay in the tomb. He is risen. And because he is risen, as we just sang, we have victory in Jesus. Thank you so much, choir and orchestra. And I want to say a word of thank you to you for being here today. This is our second service today. The first service was packed just like this one. And we want to say thank you for being here today. A lot of families are here today. I met some of you, brought your family with you, celebrating Easter together as a family. We're doing that today. Here's an Lindsay Lane church family. So thank you for being a part of our family. May God bless your family on this Easter Sunday. May God richly bless you today as you celebrate this beautiful day that God has created and what it means to us today as Christians. It's very, very, very essential that we celebrate and really remember why we're celebrating Easter Sunday, because he is risen indeed, just as he said he would. Amen? And so we celebrate a risen Savior. I thank you for being here today. I'm going to be preaching on the cross today. I love preaching on the cross. I really do. Billy Graham said, if I had it all to do over again, he said, I'd preach more on the cross. Man, I love preaching on the cross, but what it means to me personally, because I know that my sins were forgiven at Calvary's cross as he became my sin and your sin as well. And so I love preaching on the cross so much, and people know that. They've even given me crosses. I like this cross very well. This is a Russell Stover cross. Amen? So I'm going to have this one today, all right? I love the cross, and I love chocolate. Can I get a witness? And so I do appreciate all of you being here today. I want to say a word of prayer today for Lindsay Lane East today. Lindsay Lane East is our church that we've started. We planted over on Harvest area on Lindsay Lane Road. They're having two services a day just like we are. They had 114 there last week. And so they're in two services a day just like we. They're an extension of our church there. So I want to take the time today to pray for Andy John King, who's the pastor over there, and what God's doing over there at Lindsay Lane East as well. So you pray with me together today. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for what it means to us as Christians. And Lord, certainly the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that on the first day of the week, Lord, as the Bible teaches us, that Jesus arose from the grave. So we're here today to celebrate Easter, to celebrate our risen Savior, who had victory at Calvary's cross over sin for us. He became our sin, and we celebrate that he rose from the grave to give us eternal life with you. And so, Lord, I want to pray today for Lindsay Lane East. I want to pray for Andy John as he's preaching today, as I am. And so, Lord, we thank you for how you've grown Lindsay Lane, how we're expanding, and how you're just taking more people to heaven with us. And we thank you for that. So bless them today, Lord. Bless that effort there. And I pray for Andy John as he preaches that many might be saved there as well. So we love you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all you do for us. And we especially thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles today to the Gospel of Luke chapter 23. The Gospel of Luke chapter 23. Now, I've been preaching a series on the cross. This is the fifth message and the final message on the cross. I preached about the purpose of the cross, the power of the cross, the pain of the cross, and the peace of the cross. And today I'm going to talk about the promise of the cross. Did you know that Jesus made us a promise on Calvary's cross? Right there while he was stretched out with nails in his palms, nails in his feet, that very moment, Jesus made a promise, and he made it to all mankind. I want to share with you today this message, the promise of the cross. We need to preach the cross. Oh, teach me what it meaneth, that cross uplifted high, with one, the man of sorrows, condemned to bleed and die. Nothing in my hand I bring, it's only to the cross that I cling. Amen? So the cross is very significant for us. It's a symbol, if you will, of Christ's crucifixion, what he did on Calvary's cross at Golgotha to pay for our sins. And we just sing about it, didn't we? On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. But it's also an emblem, if you will, that represents grace, mercy, peace, redemption, atonement, all of those things the cross means. That's why we're singing about the cross. That's why we can glory in the cross. Because for us who are being saved, those of us who are Christians, not only is the cross sin and suffering for our sin, but it's also our atonement, our redemption. Jesus paid the price. He paid it all. All to Him I owe. And so when we look at the cross today, we see what it really means to us as believers. It means redemption of our sin. He substituted Himself for us, the Lamb of God, who died and bled that we might live in Him forever. And so we come to the cross today, our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, that we just sang about this, but the verse of Scripture that really brings it home is 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin, think about it with me. He who knew no sin, that's Jesus, He became sin, that you and I might become the righteousness, holy saints of God in Him. So because of His sacrifice, you and I have become righteous. That's why we can call ourselves saints and not sinners anymore. Because we're a saint of God, because He paid the price. He became your sin. He became my sin at Calvary's cross. So that's the significant. Jesus went all the way to Calvary. All the way to Calvary as the Lamb of God to be substituted as a sacrificial offering for you and for me. So what I want to do today, listen very carefully. Here's what I'm going to do today on Easter Sunday morning. And again, thank you for bringing your family. Got a lot of college students here with us today, this week. I appreciate all of them coming back to Lindsay Lane and all of you bringing family members. Some of you visiting with us today. Maybe you moved into the area, but some of you here with family. Thank you for coming. So what I want to do today, I want to take a journey. I want you to go with me today and revisit Calvary. We're going to revisit Calvary this morning. And I want you to see, some of you maybe for the first time, I want you to see the significance of the cross and what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary's cross to pay for your sin. So we're going to take a journey. Luke chapter 23, and if you would, look with me in verse 32. Verse 32 of Luke 23, follow with me. There were also two others, criminals, led with Him, Jesus, to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified Him, being Jesus, and criminals, notice this, one on the right hand and one on Jesus' left hand. And then Jesus said these words. Can you believe this? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divided His garments, and they gambled, and cast lots for His robe. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them were sneering and making fun of Jesus and said, He saved others. Let Him save Himself if He is the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers joined in mockery, and they mocked Him and coming and offering Him sour wine. You know the story. And then saying in verse 37, if you are the King of the Jews, why don't you just save yourself, Mr. King? And then verse 38, and an inscription also was written over Him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. And here's what it said. Over the cross of Christ was these words. This is the King of the Jews. Someone has said that's the first gospel tract. Amen? He is the King of the Jews. It's interesting to me in verse number 32 that Jesus not only was treated like a criminal, but He was numbered as a criminal. Isaiah had prophesied it 700 years previously. Isaiah had written in Isaiah 53, verse 12, and He, being Jesus, was numbered with the transgressors. He was numbered as a criminal, treated like a criminal, and even on the cross as a criminal, if you will, blasphemer is what they called it. And so today, it's no accident. Listen to me. It's no accident, it's no coincidence that Jesus was crucified between two thieves. That's not an accident. It's not just a coincidence that there were two thieves, one on His left and one on His right. Now, I want to give you the theme of what I'm going to talk about today, and I want you to listen very carefully. Listen to this statement. This is what I'm going to talk about. In these two crosses... Now, I want to move them up a little bit, and I want you to see this. This is the cross on Jesus' left. This is Jesus' cross. He was in the middle, right? So he was in the middle. And there were two crosses on either side, as the Bible just told us. One on the left and one on his right. And so I want you to see what happened there at Calvary. Move it back so you can see, all right? All right, so there's three crosses. Now, listen very carefully. On either side of Jesus, there were two men on two crosses. Those two men in those two crosses represent all of mankind. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to teach you today and show you in Scripture. The cross on the left, the cross on the right represents every human being that ever lived from time before, time present, and time future. Everybody is represented by these two crosses. Now, the choices today you got to make is which one are you? Which cross is yours? Which one are you on, if you will? Which one represents you? So that's what I want to talk to you today. I'm going to explain it today. I'm going to try to explain it to you. Now, I want you to listen to this statement. This is key to what I'm going to talk about. All three men on those three crosses are there because of sin. All three of them, including Jesus. All three of these guys on these three crosses at Calvary, can you see it? All three are there because of sin. One is there who died in his sin. Now, I'm going to talk to you about this. I'm going to show it to you. We're going to call the one on Jesus' right and my left, we're going to call him Joe. So Joe is on this cross. I already got an email this morning by somebody named Joe. Here's what they said. Great message, great presentation of the gospel, but you know, you may want to consider that Joe. Maybe want to call him Sonny. All right, but it's not Sonny, it's Joe, all right? Joe sent that, by the way, Sonny. So we're going to call this thief Joe, all right? Now, the other thief was on the other side of Jesus. We're going to call him John. This is John. Now, John's on that side of Jesus, and Joe is on the right side. Now, of course, the middle cross is none other than Jesus. And so our Lord is occupying that middle cross. Don't you notice something about these three men? Joe is dying in his sin. John is dying to sin. And Jesus is dying for sin. All three are there because of sin. Sin's put all three of them on the cross. The Bible is very clear. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, listen to me, all have, say it with me, sinned. Everybody, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody except Jesus. He's the perfect Lamb of God. He's God in the flesh. And he's there for sin. And I want to show you how Joe is dying in his sin, and John is dying to his sin. So with that said, we would call Joe a dying sinner. So Joe is there on the cross as a dying sinner. But John, on the other hand, on the other side, he is a dying saint. I want to show you this in a moment, so just hang with me. Joe's dying as a dying saint. He's dying in his sin, he's dying to his sin, and then Jesus is dying for sin. So Jesus is in the middle. He's our Savior. Joe's a sinner, John's become a saint, and Jesus is our Savior. Three men, three crosses. All three are there because of sin. And see, the significant thing about this is Joe is dying with sin in him. John is dying with sin taken away from him. And Jesus is dying with sin upon him. His sin, your sin, my sin is on him. He's there because of our sin, not his, ours. They're there because of theirs. But Jesus died for our sin. So we really need to understand what's going on here at Calvary's cross. Amen? And so we have three crosses. Now let's look at our text again. Look in verse 39, Luke 23, and I'll explain it to you. Here it is right in Scripture, what I just told you. Look in verse 39 of our text, Luke 23, 39. Then one of the criminals who was hanged with Jesus blasphemed him. We're going to call him Joe. That's Joe. Joe's on Jesus' right. Now, what did Joe say? Here's what he said. If you are the Christ, why don't you save yourself and save us too? If you are the Christ, why don't you just come off of that cross and save yourself and save us? You know what he was doing? He was chiming in with the Pharisees and the Roman soldiers. That's what they were saying. We read it in Scripture. The Pharisees, the religious rulers were saying, hey, if you are the Christ, save yourself, save yourself. And the Roman soldiers had been mocking him and beating him, and they started mocking him on the cross. Save yourself if you're the king of the Jews. And now old Joe's on the cross even mocking him and sneering at Jesus and saying, if you are the Christ, why don't you save yourself? And so we see that Joe was dying in his sin. You see, Joe, my friend, listen to this. He's a dying sinner. Joe's on the cross of rejection. He's on the cross of rejection. What is he doing? He's rejecting Jesus. If you are the Christ, come off of that cross. So he's rejecting Jesus. So he's on the cross of rejection. That's the cross of many today. Now listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. Many people in our nation and around the world know of God. They know about God. They know that some even believe he created the earth and all of that. They know all about God. They even know about Jesus. They've read the Bible. Some of them have heard the preaching. They know about Jesus. But by the way, so does the devil. The devil knows about Jesus. He knows about all of that. He knows about God and all of that. But that doesn't save him. He still rejected Jesus. And so many people around our nation, many people around our world today, and many people around our churches have rejected Jesus Christ. Some in the first service walked out of here rejecting Jesus. We gave an invitation. And yet they said, nah, not for me, not today. And they rejected Jesus. Some of you in here today most likely will reject Jesus. You'll have an opportunity like John did and like Joe did, but some of you are going to identify with that cross. I hope you don't. I hope you don't leave here rejecting Jesus. And so we see this man is a cross of rejection. He rejected Jesus's who he was, his sacrifice right there for him, and he rejected that. It's a cross of many today, and some today like Joe are going to die in their sin. You don't have to. He's already paid the price for your sin, right? That's why he hung up there. But you don't believe it. You don't accept it. It's not going to do you any good. And so many today, like Joe, will reject the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you a verse of Scripture. Listen to this verse of Scripture. It'll be on the screen. John chapter 8, verse 24. Hear it well. Hear it well, because this is what Jesus said. This is red letter. John 8, 24. Therefore, I said to you, that you will die in your sin. For if you do not believe that I am He, who? Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. That's a word from Jesus Himself. And you say, well, I believe. Have you believed to the point that He's changed your life? Heard about a guy who was crossing Niagara Falls on a tightrope. I mean, the big crowd showed up, and sure enough, they strung a big rope, a cable across Niagara Falls. And this guy got on it, and across Niagara Falls, he walked on that tightrope. Everybody was just oohing and aahing. And he said, I'm going to push a wheelbarrow across. You believe I can do that? Oh, no, you can't do that. And sure enough, he did. He took a wheelbarrow, pushed it all the way across again. Then everybody said, oh, man, he's awesome. He said, y'all believe that? Oh, yes. He said, all right, who wants to get in the wheelbarrow? You believe I can push a person across it? Oh, yes. Then get in it. Oh, no. That's a different story. I'm asking you to get in. Get in Christ. Don't just hear about Him. Don't just know about Him. Don't just sing about Him. Get in Him. Put Him in here and be saved today. A lot of people hear about Him. That's going to be like Joe. That's going to die in their sin. Oh, help us, Jesus. Speak to us today, Your word. And you see what Jesus said? Are y'all listening? Here, it's so simple. This is a simple message. Listen to this. Jesus said in John 3:16, follow with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says this, for God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now catch verse 18. He who believes in Him is not condemned. But he who believes not in the Lord Son, Jesus, Son of God, is condemned already. John 3:16, 17, and 18. That's the gospel. You either believe in Him or you don't. You either up or you down, you're in or you're out. It's really that simple. This is a simple message of salvation. I don't see how I can get it any simpler than what I'm presenting to you today. So I want you to listen as we continue in this message today. People are still mocking Jesus like Joe did. There was a movie out called The Last Temptation of Christ, made a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. Really did. You know, and SNL, Saturday Night Live, had a little clip of Jesus. They called it Resurrection Revenge. Had Jesus coming back dressed up, had an AK-47 and just blowing people's head out that crucified Him, all of that. Just kind of making light of it. It's all over the place now in our generation. Bill Maher loves making fun of Christian and Christ. Kathy Griffin don't believe in Jesus, makes fun of Him, mockery. It's in our world today. You know why they do that? Because they're sinners. They haven't believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Just like I didn't. For a number of years, I didn't believe it either. Oh, I went to church. My mom carried me to church at Round Island. I went to church. I heard the gospel. I heard messages similar to this. I knew John 3:16. But I never accepted Christ as my Savior. My life never changed. I just went to church. You see, if you don't have any change in your life, then you probably never met Jesus. But when you meet Him, things begin to change. Your want to begins to change. You don't want to do the things you used to do. There's just the Spirit comes in, the Holy Spirit, and you don't want to do those things. He changes you. Did you know in Matthew, I can't remember the verse, it's Matthew, I believe it's 26 or something like that. Do you know that both of these guys started out sneering at Jesus, even John did? He started out doing that too. But something happened on that cross. John changed. John changed. And you say, what made him change? I believe I know what it was. I really do. Here's what I believe happened. I'm going to show you just in a moment. I believe old Joe was sneering at Jesus, saying, hey, if you're the Son of God, come off of that tree and save yourself. Save us. Ha, ha. If you're the Son of God, yeah, just look at you. You're no better off than we are. You're up here just like we are. You ain't no Son of God. You're not a king. You know, John had been kind of chiming in with them, you know, get us off of here. And then something happened those 3 hours on that cross. I believe here's what happened. I believe Jesus was hanging up there, and when Jesus uttered these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe it changed old John's life. I believe John heard that and said, how in the world can this man, they say he's innocent, People been following, been healing people. He's been helping people. He's been loving to people. And yet they're crucifying. What has he done? And then he says, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Oh, my word. There's something different about this man. He must be the Christ. He must be the Christ. And so we see John on the cross of reception. He received Jesus. He believed in him. So he's on the cross of reception. John's on the cross of rejected. Joe's over there still sneering. He's still sneering. And so we see the difference. Now, I want to read this passage of Scripture. I want you to follow with me. In our text, again, I want to read verse 42. Listen to this, verse 42. Then he said to Jesus, this is John. Are you listening? Say, uh-huh. Jesus, Lord, by the way, he called him Lord, Kyrios, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, folks, why would he say that if he didn't believe he was the Christ? He didn't have to, but he did. I believe when he heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them, and those know what they do, he said, man, this is the Son of God. He really is. He's the King. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I want you to watch this. This is how it played out, I believe. Watch this.
I am a thief. I am a murderer. Walking up this lonely hill. What have I done? No, I don't remember. And no one knows just how I feel. And I know that my time is coming soon. Well, it's been so long. Such a long time since I've lived with peace and rest, and now I am here at my destination, and I guess things work for the best. Well, and I know that my time is coming soon. Well, who is this man?
If you're what you say you are, you're the Messiah. Why don't you save yourself?
Slowly fading, but I deserve what I'll receive. Jesus, when you are in your kingdom, could you please remember
me when you come into your kingdom.
My time is coming.
Did you know that your time's coming soon? Did you know that Jesus is coming soon? You know he's coming back to claim his children, his saints. He's coming back for us. Again, let me ask you this. What made the difference between those two crosses and those two men? What was it that made the difference, one on the cross of rejection and the other on the cross of reception? What was it that made the difference? Well, let me show you what John did. And look with me in our text again. Look in verse number 40. The other, who was John, rebuked Joe, and said, "Do you not even fear God?" So first of all, he feared God. He came to the place to where he reverenced God as who he is. He says, "Joe, don't you even fear God? Do you know that America's in a state right now, we really have no fear of God? We don't really fear God. There's a lot of church folks today, don't really fear God." And he said, "First of all, I fear God, don't you?" And then look what happened. And in verse 40, he said, "We're under the same condemnation. We are indeed getting our just reward." You know what that's called? Confession of sin. He admitted he's a sinner. He said, "Joe, we're sinners. We're getting what we deserve. We have sinned, and we're getting our just reward." And so, first of all, he acknowledged God. Secondly, he confessed his sin. And then what did he do thirdly? Look with me. Look in verse 42. And then he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What did he do? He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, being saved today is as simple as ABC. You got to acknowledge God. You got to confess your sin. And you got to believe he'll save you because he's the Christ. He's the Son of God. And when you get to that point in your life, you can be saved. The Bible's very clear, Romans 10, 9 and 10. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart, God's raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. With our mouth, confession is made. With a heart, we believe. And so we're talking about believing that he is the Son of God, that he's coming back. He arose from the grave to give us life. We're going to spend eternity with him in paradise, in heaven. And that's why this guy was saved and the other wasn't. And on that third cross was our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who's our Savior, and he's on the cross of redemption. What does that mean? It means he's dying on the cross to redeem you of your sin. He's paying the price as a substitutionary Lamb of God, innocent, and he's paying the price for the sins of all the world. He's paying the price for Joe's sin, and he's paying the price for John's sin. And Bill and Jane and Susie, everybody. He's paying everybody's price, but you've got to trust him and believe him. You can't reject him. You've got to receive him because he redeemed you. He redeemed you. He paid the price for your sin. And so we see Christ on the cross suffering for you and I as a substitutionary Lamb of God. I want to give you a verse of Scripture. Look at this. It's on the screen. Ephesians 1:7. Listen, Ephesians 1:7. In him, that means in Christ, we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of what? Say it with me. Sin. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sin through the blood of Christ according to the riches of his grace. Paul says, by grace you are saved through faith, not of works, not of yourself, that anybody would boast about it. You can't do anything to earn your salvation. Only Jesus can give you eternal life and forgiveness of your sin. So on Calvary's tree, We see three crosses. We see the cross of Job, a dying sinner, the cross of rejection. On Jesus' left, we see John. He's a dying saint now, and he's on the cross of reception. And in the middle, we see our Savior, Jesus, who's on that cross of redemption, who paid the price for your sin and my sin, so we can go to heaven to be with him. And see, what you have to do is acknowledge that as well. You've got to believe that he is the Christ, and like John, Father, Jesus, he said, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? By the way, he knows who you are today. He knows who you are. He's waiting on you to make a choice. Now, I want you to see, as I said earlier, I'm going to go back to this and I'm closing. All of mankind is represented by these two crosses. The choices that they made right there in their last moment. Now, John almost waited too late, didn't he? We would call that a deathbed confession. He almost waited too late, but nevertheless, he didn't. He received Jesus Christ, and by his mercy and grace, Jesus saved him. It wasn't because he got off the cross and went to church. It wasn't because he ran down to the baptismal pool and got baptism. It wasn't because he attended this church or that church. It was because of the blood of Christ, period, that saved old John, because he trusted him, he confessed his sin, and he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Now, these two crosses represent everybody in this room. Listen to me. Everybody in this room and around the world is represented by these two crosses. You're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. That's it. And so everybody's represented by these two crosses. Now, here's the deal. Which choice have you made? Have you made your choice? Have you decided that Jesus is the Son of God? He is the Savior of the world. He came to save you from your sin and die for you. And you put your faith and trust in him and believed and accepted him in your life and let him change your life. Have you done that? That's your choice. God gives us a choice. He gave both of these men the same choice. One rejected, one received. Max Lucado, I love to read Max Lucado. Max Lucado wrote a book called 316. I read that book, and in this book, I want to quote him. Listen very carefully. You ever wonder why there were two crosses next to Christ? Why not six? Why not ten? Ever wonder why Jesus was in the center? Why not on the far right? Why not on the far left? Could it be that the two crosses on the hill symbolize one of God's greatest gifts, the gift of choice? Two criminals had so much in common. They are convicted by the same system. They were condemned to the same death, surrounded by the same crowd, equally close to the same Jesus. In fact, they both began with the sarcasm. In Matthew chapter 27, I told you about it. They both started out kind of saying, if you are the Christ. But listen to this. One of them changed. One of them changed. He chose, listen to this. Think about the thief who repented. That'd be John. Though we know little about John or him, we know this. He made some bad mistakes in his life. He chose the wrong crowd, the wrong morals, the wrong behavior. But would you consider his life a waste? Is he spending eternity reaping for all the bad choices he made? No. Just the opposite. He is enjoying the fruit of the one good choice that he made. In the end, all the bad choices were redeemed by a solitary good one. You've made some bad choices in your life, haven't you? You look back over your life and you say, if only I could make up for all those bad choices. You can. One good choice for eternity offsets 1,000 bad ones made here on earth. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Two thieves were on a cross one day, hanging there for sins to pay. In between being another man, the one that drew salvation's plan. Turning to him, one of the thieves said, "I hear how thousands you have fed. If you be the Christ, why don't you come off of that tree and save yourself and save me?" So near to Christ, yet so far away. He wanted to be saved, but he didn't want to do it God's way. The other thief said, to the first thief he said, "For our crimes we should be dead. But this man has done no wrong. He's healed the sick and he's fed the throne." Addressed to him was his humble plea, "Lord, in your kingdom, would you remember me?" And Christ promised him that he would rise and on this very day be with me in paradise. So near to Christ, never far away, this man got saved because he did it God's way. You too must face this same Christ someday. What then to him will you say? Will you be as bold as the first thief dare? Or as the second thief, will you come to him in prayer? With your voice, will you loud with denial ring? Or will you accept Jesus as your King? It's your choice. You must choose well. Rejecting him, accepting him means heaven, and rejecting him means hell. You have a choice to make this very day. Which one of these crosses are you identifying with this very moment? Nobody can take that cross but Jesus. So all of mankind is represented on these two crosses. You either reject Jesus or you accept him. And I'll tell you this. Joe didn't go to hell because he was a thief. He didn't go to hell because he was a robber or even a murderer. He went to hell because he didn't believe in Jesus. He never accepted Christ as his personal Savior. The sin of unbelief is the greatest sin you'll ever commit. Because that very sin is the one that will send you straight to hell if you never believe in Jesus Christ. I read you the scriptures. But on the other hand, if you believe in Jesus as your personal Savior, accept him as your Lord, believe that he is the Christ, he rose from the grave to give you eternal life, you can be saved. And again, I'll leave you with this. It's your choice. It's your choice. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, a very simplistic message, very clear message on salvation. Lord, you've given us a choice. You died for all of us. The Bible says you're not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And so, Lord, it's time for people to repent. And repentance simply means to turn away from the way you're living. If you're a lost person, like I had to do, and I did in 1979, I turned away from that lifestyle. And I accepted Christ. And he changed me, came into my life and changed me who I was. And, Lord, there's others in this room today that need changing by the power of Christ in their life. Lord, you've already died for them. You've already paid for their sin. They just have to accept it and believe it and trust it and invite you to come into their life. And I pray they would do that this very moment. You've given us a choice. We can choose the cross of rejection. We can walk out of here and reject you. Say, "I'm not ready. I just don't understand." There's no way they can understand this message. And so, Lord, we can say like John, "I believe you are the Christ. I fear God. I know you're the Son of God. I believe you. By faith, I believe in you. Would you remember me?" And he will. He died for you. And so, Lord, I'm praying for this invitation. I pray you'll save the lost. For those who may not even understand, may not even know where they stand, I pray you'd make it vivid to them right now where they stand. And I pray they would come and receive Jesus before it's everlasting too late. Thank you. You've given us a choice. I pray today we would choose well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us all over the building? As you're standing, we're going to sing a very, very familiar song, Just As I Am, and that's the way God wants you, just like you are. You don't have to change anything to come to Jesus. He'll do all the changing. So I pray today that you would come. Now, listen to this. I'm going to ask the first part of this invitation. If any of you want to be saved, you say, Pastor, that's me. I really do need to make that choice today. I really want to make that choice. I really do need Christ in my life. I really do. I'm not even sure that I'm saved, but today I want to settle that. I want to know for sure that I belong to Him. And like John, I want to be with Him in heaven for the rest of my life. Then you need to come forth today and repent of your sin and accept Christ as your personal Savior. And I want to pray for you right now. You'll make that decision. That's the first part of this invitation. For anyone and everyone that needs Jesus in your life, you don't know if you're a Christian, don't know if you're saved, or you may just like I was, you flat out know you're going to hell without Christ. I knew that, and I called on Him, and He saved me. Father, in the name of Jesus, draw people to You as only You can. And I pray right now, O Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit to draw us to You. For those who are making that choice right now, their life's in the balance. And I pray they would choose well, and they would come. I want you to come right here on these front pews and just sit right now. As we sing, just step out and come and sit right here on the front pew. Come on, right now. I'm going to be right here with you. You come on down, right now. God's spoken to your heart. You need Christ in your life. Come on down. Don't be ashamed. You come right now. Sit right here on these front two pews. Come on. Spoken to your heart today. You come on. Young person, older person, you come.